Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you! Exclamation mark. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you!
Yeah.
Exclamation mark. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Exclamation mark. Good morning. We are in our last message in our series on praise and worship this morning. And in the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about worship specifically and learning about how worship is something that starts internally. It's actually a decision to make God your leader, because those words for worship in the Word, in the Bible, are actually calling us to bow down to God as master. And so worship isn't lip service. It's not just something that you do externally to kind of just show people or show God. It actually starts in the heart, and it can then be expressed through our actions that God is our leader and we're bowing to him. That's worship. That's the spring, the well in which worship comes out. This morning we want to talk about praise. And praise is actually an outward expression, a celebration of who God is, who he is in your life personally, just his character, and it's outward. It's expressive. That's what we just saw in that Psalm 67 that we just read, with exclamation marks declaring the goodness of God among all nations. That's God's heart, even through his people in Israel, was that all nations would be blessed, all nations would worship him, recognize who he is, and declare it from the mountaintops. That's praise, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Normally we have more music at the beginning of the service, but as Nick mentioned, we're doing things different. We're going to learn about praise, then we're going to jump in and practice those things. Learn a little bit more about praise, and then do those things. So hopefully you'll feel a little bit stretched even in what you're normally comfortable doing in praising, because we're kind of trying to break the ice and get into a biblical example of praise in our fellowship, okay? More and more. We always want to grow. We always want to be matured in deeper and deeper levels. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to walk through several Hebrew words that mean praise. There's actually 8 Hebrew words. We're going to cover a few of those this morning that we translate praise in the English. And they have specific meanings. They're actually specific examples, specific instruction on how to praise. First one we're going to look at this morning is halal. To be clear, to shine, to boast, to make a show, to be clamorously foolish. That's my favorite one. To rave and to celebrate. Does that sound like fun? You guys ready to rave this morning? We're going to kick up the electronic music or whatever you use for rave. Rave music. Halal. So you're familiar with the word hallelujah. And we say that word, but do we necessarily know the depth of meaning of it? The root of that, the beginning of that word, halal, means this. And hallelujah, the last part of that word is yah. So we're actually saying, do this to the Lord, to God, yah, meaning God. It's one of the words, one of the Hebrew words for God. So we're to boast, and we're gonna focus on boast right now here. To be clamorously foolish, what would that look like? In praise. You want to give an example, Susan? Clamorously is to draw attention to. Well, come on, this doesn't sound Christian. We're supposed to be humble. And no, we are supposed to get wild when we praise God. Okay? People do that with sporting events, and it's no big deal. Shirts off, painted blue and green, going nuts over some people running around with a ball in their hands. And yet we have a God who's good to every nation, amazing in grace and love, and we are supposed to go nuts over that and express it. Okay, so we're going to do that this morning. But what we're going to do first is we're going to boast. Let's see a verse where we see halal. Okay, so where you see praise here, it's halal in the Hebrew. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Excellent greatness. So in the last few weeks, we've been playing testimony videos that are people from our fellowship here just boasting of God's working in their lives. We have a new one of those we're going to show right now. And as we're watching that, as we're watching one of our members just boasting of God's goodness in their life and how he worked to draw him in to a faith in Christ, think for yourself, what would you boast about? If the question was posed to you, I boast of the Lord's fill in the blank in my life, what would it be? We're going to give an opportunity for you to do that before we move into more singing and music. That's actually a way to praise, is to, before all these people, lump in your throat, nervous, speak it out. God has been this in my life. And even you can even explain how, if you want to. So let's watch this first. Isn't that fun? All of that was in this room, and we didn't know it until you open your mouth and speak it out. That's praise. Nick, if you want to come up, take us into a couple more Hebrew words as we start to move into music.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. That was awesome. And that was awesome. You guys are awesome. So cool hearing what God's doing. So one of the words that we're going to look at next is tehillah. And this word means a song of praise, or quite literally to sing, actual singing. And this word, it appears 57 times in the Old Testament. So when you, especially in the Psalms, when you're reading through the Psalms and you see the word praise, oftentimes that word in Hebrew is tehillah. And here's an example of that. In Psalm 71, verse 8, we read, my mouth is filled with your praise, tehillah, and with your glory all the day. So this verse, for example, could easily be translated to, my mouth is filled with your singing, or with your songs of praise, or with singing your praise. And what happens is, I don't want to devalue the English translation of your Bible. Jeff, did you mention this already? I think you did first service, but he hasn't said this yet. The people that are translating from the original manuscripts, from Hebrew and from Greek, they're doing that with the utmost attention and care and education and prayerful consideration and letting the Holy Spirit lead them. So don't be reading your Bible, as we've been doing a really in-depth study of these words, and go, well, this really isn't like a great translation, or like I'm really kind of just missing out. There's inspiration happening from the Holy Spirit, even in as these texts are the inspiration that was originally there is continuing on in the new translations, what I'm trying to say. And so don't downplay that. What happens is the Hebrew language is such a small language, especially compared to our language, and words mean a lot of different things. So this word tehillah and all the words we're going to look at, praise is associated with that, but the primary function or attribute or characteristic of this word is singing. And so that kind of gets lost. It gets obscured in translation. But really, you could read these words like, my mouth is filled with your singing, or with singing your praise. Just so, so cool. And along the lines of music, I know for someone like me who is up here every week and is singing and playing, it might feel a little... I don't know how to say this, but it might just feel like, Nick, you know, that's great that that's your thing and you sing and you do that, but what about me? I can't really carry a tune, or I'm kind of tone deaf. I tried playing acoustic guitar and I learned 3 chords and my fingers hurt all the time now. I don't do anything about it. I want to just say this real quick, and this isn't in my notes, but just God put on my heart, singing is divine. It's something that God does. There's things that we do that God like doesn't do. There's things that we have in our daily lives. Like, I don't know, something simple as driving a car. Like, God could totally drive a car. He could come down and be incarnate and drive a car, but like, he doesn't do those things. But God actually sings over us. Do you know this? He sings over us. There's something divine. There's like a beautiful mutual cooperation when we sing. And God doesn't care if you don't sound good or if you sound amazing. There's something, I mean, music is like, it's a universal language. It really is divine. It's something from the heavens that we partake in and be a part of the creation. And it's just, it's so cool. And when you read that, and when you see that word, like, think about that. Also, what's really awesome is this word zamar. And this word means to make music, to play a musical instrument. And they'll go ahead and flip that on the screen here soon. And this word occurs 45 times in the Old Testament. And really, if you look at the etymology of this word, and it actually means to, the most basic root of this word is to strike or to pluck. Which obviously, this is something, like, I've never been so more serious with what I'm about to say. That's why the drum set and the electric guitar are holy instruments. Seriously, you know, yeah. Like, to strike and to pluck. So I don't want to hear any complaining about drums and electric guitars, okay? They're like holy instruments from heaven. It's in the Bible. But really, let's take a look at some of those examples in Psalms. So Psalm chapter 7, verse 17, we read, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise, zamar, to the name of the Lord the Most High. And then Psalm 47, verse 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Sing is kind of like the connecting word whenever the Hebrew word zamar is there. Sing is always previously there with it. So if you're going through the Psalms and you're reading, whenever you see sing praise or sing praises, you can be pretty confident and pretty sure that word right there is zamar. And again, it's actually like sing praises, but sing with the accompaniment of musical instruments. Strike the lyre and the harp. Pluck the strings. It's really, really amazing stuff. And we see with these two words that music, in some mysterious and divine way, is interwoven in praise. God's created it that way, and there's something really wonderful that happens when we participate in that. And that's why we have music on Sundays. One of the reasons why we sing and praise God that way. So we're going to do that in just a moment. But Jeff's got one more word for us that's really awesome. I'm going to invite him back up to do that.
Moving into music, what Nick's just said about music. Are you guys ready to make some noise? Are you guys ready to make some noise? Yeah! One of the things I loved when I lived in Eastern Europe was on a Saturday in the afternoon, you could go out on your balcony and you'd hear this sound in the distance. You're like, what in the heck is that? And it was the football game. A mile away in the stadium, and those stands were lit up. People were throwing rocks out on the field. I mean, it was going nuts. Okay, we just talked about the word halal being clamorously foolish. And we talk a little bit about what does that look like in sports for us to be clamorously foolish. Yeah, worship team, you can come on up. Think about watching one of your kids play a sport or going to their play or whatever it is. You're applauding them, you're praising them. Look, no offense to your kids. They're great. But God is so much more worthy of us just going wild, okay? It's great to praise your kids and their accomplishments, but God is crazy wild. Shabak, to address in a loud tone, to triumph, to still. So as we move into music and those words that God is encouraging us to come with praise with instruments and with our voices, he's also encouraging us to do it loudly at times, to shout to him. The other day, I was driving through towards Carnation right at sunset, and this sunset came out, And I just went nuts in my car. If my kids would have been in the car with me, they would have thought I was crazy. They would have thought I was foolish. I was beside myself going, what is going on in me? Like, I've been holding this in. And I was just raving, celebrating God. At the top of my lungs, my voice was cracking. I was just, look at that, you did that. Like, he just hit the three-pointer at the buzzer for the championship. Praising God. Well, we're going to do that right now, because that's what these words, let's put up that psalm. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise Shabbat, will praise you. So I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone over these next few songs. Sing at the top of your lungs. Who cares if your voice cracks? Shout out to the Lord, even if it's in the middle of the quiet part of the song. But I want to encourage you to praise God with a shout.
So I have the privilege and honor to share with us the last word that we're going to look at today, and that's the word yada. And it's just a, yeah. It's a powerful, powerful word. And there's honestly, I think, as I was sharing this first service, there's a lot of different ways we could go with this. And so I do want to put that disclaimer that we're going to kind of look at one area, facet of this word or how it can be used. Because if you actually look at this word, you'll actually notice it when it says in your Bible to shoot an arrow or they were struck down. It's actually this word. So the root of this word is to throw or to cast or to strike. But it's used all over the Old Testament as a way of just demonstrating an extension of the hand, and it's especially used in praise. And it occurs 116 times. 116 times. And what's fascinating about that is 53 of the times we read the word praise. It's actually the word yada. Now, 34 of those times, it's actually the word thanksgiving. 16 of those times, it's the word confession, confess. And then for those of you who are doing math, you're probably going crazy. Okay, like what are the other ones? I'm not going to go too much into it, but there's just other instances, like I was saying, where this word actually is simply to throw or to like to stretch out a hand. And so you'll see that in the Old Testament as well. So we find this very popular psalm where King David is just pouring his heart out to God, and he writes this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him," yada, him, "my salvation." When a young child does this, what does that mean typically? Yeah, lift me up. As I was thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, it really, if you dive deep into that and just really kind of break it down, it's bigger than just pick me up. It's, I want to be close to you. Maybe even I need to be close to you. Maybe the child's like scraped his or her knee and they're just needing comfort. And so it's like, I can get that in mama or daddy's arms. Like, maybe they're actually fearful of something. They're afraid. And so the child comes running out of their room to the mom and dad's room and is like going to the bed, going like this, like, I need comfort. I need safety. And it doesn't have to have like a negative connotation. I think about the times growing up when I would wait outside, well, not outside, but inside our house, we had a window that kind of overlooked part of the driveway and the cul-de-sac. And I remember waiting for my dad to come home from work and running out to his arms. Yada. It's a really, really powerful word, and it's the same with God. Whether we know this or not, we are his. He's created you. He's created me. He goes, wow, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my creation. And that kind of relationship that a child has with his parent is just an image, a picture, a symbol of the relationship that we can have with the Father. And so you might be here this morning and might be in a place where you are really fearful of something or needing comfort. Maybe it's something that's just coming in your life right now, something that's present. Maybe it's something in the future that you look to that you're just stressed about, that you're needing comfort in. Maybe it's something from your past that's just rearing its ugly head again. Maybe you're just here and you're just like, man, I want to give thanks to God. The great thing is, it's kind of a paradox and a nuance, and when you don't have to just come with one of those things. Like, I came here this morning saying, God, I need you. And also, God, wow, you are amazing. I give thanks to you. And also, God, I confess that I haven't been walking with you this week in the way that I want to. All of those things. And that's just really scratching the surface of what it can mean and what it means when we lift our hands to the Father. But I just want to invite us to do that. If you feel comfortable in these next songs, raise your hand, extend your hand to Him, wherever the posture of your heart is right now. And know that the God whom you raise your hand to is all powerful. He knows everything. He's in every moment, in every circumstance, always. He's everywhere. The biggest thing in your life is not too big for Him. The smallest thing in your life is not outside of His care. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. And the greatest news of all, nothing you can do will ever separate you from His love that He has for you. Nothing. Nothing. That's the God whom you get to raise your hands to. It's pretty awesome. And that is a fearful thing, because that is amazing God. That is a God where I am in awe. So let's do that now.